Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time,
God is good. You know, we can't forget how good God really is. And although we don't celebrate it here in the church, I'm glad it's Easter. Because I see some fresh faces. And we're so thankful anytime you come into the house of the Lord to serve Him in spirit and in truth. And that's why we're here. You know, the time between Lord's Day and Lord's Day till the next Lord's Day is 1 week. And some don't see the church inside of the church until the next week. But I want you to know that we do have Wednesday night Bible class again. And we're looking for each and every one of you, or as many of you as possible, to come out and be with us. Now this morning, I've got good news and I've got bad news for you. The good news is that I plan on being short. The bad news is that I may not. So just bear with me this morning as we get into the Word of God. This morning the subject will be taken from the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew and the first 6 verses. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook him for fear of, and he became like, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." This morning we want to talk about Christ is risen. Before we go any further, let us go to God in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, so blessed are we once again because you have privileged us and gave us this opportunity to come out and share another portion of your divine word. Father, we thank you for this new day that you have presented into our lives. Unlike any other day we've ever seen, it's better than yesterday, and it's good to be here today as well as looking forward to tomorrow. We're so thankful, Lord. We're thankful and we're praying for the leaders of this congregation. We're praying for every member of this congregation and their families as well. We're praying, O Heavenly Father, that we can do the right thing and make the right decisions when it comes to you. Thank you, Father. We pray for those who might be sick and shut in. We pray for those who may not be with us today because of sickness, illness, or just whatever reason. We pray that they would come together at the next appointed time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for giving us our health and our strength. But most of all, thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with the privilege of being here. Thank you, Lord, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Because he went to the cross, because he went to the grave, because he got up out of the grave, we can live. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for everything. Father, we pray and ask you to be with those who run our world in which we live, the politicians and the government, the official agents of the government, that they may not make any rules and regulations which would cause us hindrance to serve thee in spirit and in truth. Father, thank you for all the service people all over the world as they stand guard waiting at the door to keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Father, we thank you for the parents who are raising their children, We pray that they'll raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for those who may still be on their way this morning, that they might get here safely and securely. We pray for those who might be traveling today, that you give them blessed passage, that they may have safety on their journey and a safe return to us once again. Thank you, Father, for everything, and it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray for and ask it all. Let the church say, Amen. Today the world celebrates what they call Easter Sunday. We celebrate because it is the Lord's Day and because Christ arose. And not so much because it's called Easter, and certainly not because of rabbits who people say lay eggs for us to find. In fact, there are major reasons why we need to be careful and not get caught up in all the reasons the world gives us. We should not be so quick to go out and spend money we don't have to purchase outfits we don't necessarily need. Instead, we should search the scriptures and see what they tell us. We should be glad that the Bible declares that Jesus lives and that he arose. How do we know? Well, in Matthew 28 and 6, we are told, and the ladies went to the tomb, the angels gave them these words, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay." I'm so glad for the ladies this morning, because sometimes I like to say, if it wasn't for the ladies, the church wouldn't be as full as it is. Thank God for the ladies and these ladies who went looking for Jesus. No longer would they have to wonder if he would arise or that he might arise, but positively and certainly he did arise. So we should be glad. We should be glad, for he is risen, as I just stated in Matthew 28 and 6. There are two facts to consider. First of all, because it is in God's word. And the second reason is because the angel gave the word to the ladies in verse 5. He already knew what the women wanted and what they were seeking before they asked. He said, "I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Let us call upon a few witnesses, if you will." First, the guards in Matthew 27. They had been given instructions by Pilate in Matthew 27, in the 27th chapter of Matthew. Pilate said to them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it sure as you can." In other words, you have a job to do. Make sure you do it. We as Christians have a job to do. We need to make sure that we're on our jobs. The disciples were witnesses for the resurrection as well. In John 20 and 19 and 20, while they gathered themselves, verse 19 says, "The same day at evening on the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. In came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. He showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Whenever the church meets, everyone should be glad. We need to be at peace with one another. Jesus is all about peace. The disciples were no doubt very fearful, for they thought Jesus had left them without a leader. But he told them again in verse 21, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me." Cephas saw the risen Christ. Above 500 brethren at once saw him. James and all the apostles saw him. And lastly, Paul saw him. So I asked the question this morning, how can we doubt the word of God as truth when all these witnesses had the same description of Jesus? They saw him. We should also be glad that Jesus ascended. He ascended back to heaven so that he might be with our Heavenly Father and continue his work for us. The Bible gives other witness to attest to the fact that Jesus is alive. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up, this tells us that he was no longer in the grave. They may not have seen him come out of the grave, but they certainly could see him rising up from the earth. Christ has told some of these that they should see heaven open up. How wonderful it is for us to have a Savior whom we know to be truthful and never make him a promise he can't keep. All we have to do is be trusting and faithful to him. We would never reach heaven if we don't trust in him, be obedient to him, and have faith in him. We know Christ is interceding for us. How do we know this? Because in 1 John 2 and 1, the Bible tells us we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the reason we have been saved. Thank God for Jesus Christ who is helping out. It doesn't make any difference how good we look. Doesn't make any difference how much money we have. No matter how well off we think we are, it can all be gone in the twinkling of our eyes. Our money can be wiped out by an emergency. Our looking good can be taken over by poor health. And those good looks can fade away once we start to age. Our once smooth skin becomes wrinkled. Our speech can become slurred. Our walk can become crippled. But if God be on your side, it can all be repaired. Remember our friend Job? I know you remember Job because it's one of every Christian's favorite story in the Bible. How he had so much, he had everything. He once had a willing family. He had wealth. But soon after he continued to trust in God and stayed with God, in Job chapter 42, the Bible tells us, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He lost everything, but he got more in the end than he had in the beginning, church. Isn't God good? He lost everything, but God blessed him with more. I suggest to us today that no matter what we're going through, give it over to the Lord and leave it. For the Lord is a wonderful Savior. I read something the other day and it made a lot of sense to me. And I just like to share it with you for a moment here. The gospel is good news. A man said, when I was first saved, it was good news. After being saved for a while, it was the best news. But now as I near the end of my earthly life, it is the only news. We should be glad because Christ is coming again. Thank God we can call ourselves Christians, for we know that there shall come a day when Christ shall return. We have been assured that he indeed shall come again. In the very familiar text of John 14, we are told to let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I come again, go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. Now, I don't know of any promises that Jesus ever made that he didn't keep. Jesus is the promise keeper. So when man promises you he'll guide and protect you, his guarantee is only, his promise is only as good as while he lives. Jesus died and lived and lives again, and that's wonderful news. That is a guarantee from Christ. Unlike when men make promises that they can't keep. We are not to be troubled in things about condition around us, for we have the word of the Master to not be troubled in heart. Just continue to believe in God and the risen Savior. All we need to do is just keep our faith in Christ. There's room for all who would come, because he went to prepare for us to make sure that when we do come, when he comes again, everything will be ready. What a wonderful promise this is, to know that Christ is preparing for us a place. He is making sure we'll be ready at the proper time, a place where we can and where we may be able to get to, a place that's prepared for us. We must remember that heaven has only one door to enter, and that is Christ is the door. Jesus said in John chapter 10 in verse number 1, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And we know they won't be there. There's but one way to make it into heaven, that is through Jesus Christ. If one wants to get to heaven, they must first be obedient to Christ, do his will, and have faith in him. So look back once again at the text in verse number 28, and starting with chapter 28, starting with verse number 1. "Now as after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb." They got up seeking the tomb, seeking Jesus. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." Isn't God powerful, church? He not only allowed the stone to roll back, but he had the angel sit on it. "And his clothing was as white as snow. And the guard shook for fear of him that became like dead men. But the angels answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.'" Now I tell you this morning, when you come to church, you ought to be looking for Jesus. You ought to come to church being prepared to meet Jesus. You ought to come to church being ready for Jesus Christ as our maker, our creator, and our maker. And just so you know the right church to come to, you go back to Matthew 16 and verse number 18, where the Bible says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I told you I was going to be short this morning, and I'm keeping my word. I told you this morning, but I want you to do something for me. When you leave church today, take your mama out to dinner. Take your father out to dinner. Take somebody out to dinner today, because you ought to be serving God in spirit and in truth. And you've been in the church here this morning, and you came to serve God in spirit and truth. So just what else I wanted to tell you is, early one morning, Jesus got up from the grave. He walked out of the grave. He came up from out of the grave, and he lives, and he still lives, and he's in heaven with his Heavenly Father, with our Heavenly Father. I thank God this morning that Jesus is alive and well. I know that they stretched him high and hung him wide. But nevertheless, Jesus is still alive. He beat death. He came back to life. And this is what I'm so glad about this morning, that he came back to life. You see, Jesus died just for you and I. He didn't die for himself. He died because he wanted to save us. He was not guilty of any crime. He was not guilty of anything. But they still hung him high. They crucified him. And the crucifixion actually began before they actually nailed him to the cross. They started to beat him. They beat him And then they made him carry his own cross. Isn't that humiliation upon humiliation? Not only did they make him carry his cross, but somebody said they teased him as he was going through the crowd. So I tell you, crucifixion is not an easy thing for anyone, even Jesus. He had prepared, he had went to his Father before he died, and he asked him, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But if not, let your will be done. I tell you this morning, Jesus had a tough road to hold, but he held it anyway. Jesus is all right this morning. I tell you something else about Jesus. He didn't have to die if it was on his account, but they gave him an old mock trial. He was denied the process of due process of law. He wasn't asked if he wanted to call an attorney into him, to himself. So they questioned him wrongly. And today he probably would have been found innocent and released. But nevertheless, he died because he wanted us to be able to be saved. And I tell you something else about that. When they went into the courtroom, even Pilate decided to give up and call it quits. He said, I wash my hand of this matter. And somebody said, well, his wife had told him to leave that innocent man alone. But I tell you that God is all right this morning. He's all right because he died so that we could live. He got up so that we could be saved. He made a way for us, church, to get into heaven. And I tell you something, church. Without that safety net that we have, I ask you, where would we be? Because we couldn't pay the debt that we owed. We had a contract that was too big for us. We had a contract that we couldn't afford to keep on our own. But Jesus said, I'll step in and I'll save them all by just one act of crucifixion. So when they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, oh, that must have hurt. But it was painful to him, but joy for us. So we ought to be glad this morning and stop listening to all those folk who tell you what you need. And just go to the Bible and let the Bible be your guide. Let the Bible tell you everything you need. And not what man tells you we need. Because man will tell you we need this and we need that. And if they're from Market Street, all they want to do is to get their hands in your wallet. And you just open your wallet up to them, some of us do. Because we figure we have to have everything that they say we should have. We figure we should have everything that they put on TV and tell us it looks good for us. Or it works better for us than the old one. Well, if the old one didn't work, why are you trying to sell me a new one that you say might work better? But nevertheless, be careful. And we have to be careful on everything that we feel that the Market Street tells us to buy. But I'm going to tell you something. Think long, think hard, and most of all, think prayerfully on what you're getting into. They tell us today that technology is wonderful. Technology is great. Technology is good, but technology can cause you to lose everything you have by somebody going into your computer that you think is yours, by going into your computer and hacking you online. And then one day you go to look for what you think is yours, what you think you got, and it's not there. So be careful. What are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying, trust in the Lord. Let the Lord be your guide. Use the wisdom that God has given you. And if you don't have wisdom, ask the Lord, for He gives it. That's right. And when we think, like we think now, that spring is here, but God is showing us differently. For He's in charge of the weather. And some of those outfits that were purchased for Easter had to be covered up for winter. Some of those outfits that we wanted to strut our stuff in, we can't strut in it today because it's too cold. But you know what? I thank God for this very day because it's like unlike any other day that we've ever seen. And it didn't have to have the sunshine today, but we got it. We could have had rain, but we got sunshine. We could have had 70 degree weather, but instead we got 30 degree weather. But be thankful, because the weather is not yours to make for your calling. It's God's calling. Now, as I told you when I first started, I was going to be short, and I am being short. Thank you, Brother Hill. But when this day is over and you reflect back on this day, make sure you thank God for it. Make sure you thank God for everything that happened to you in this day. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. You know, we have to thank God for good stuff as well as bad stuff. Especially if it's stuff of God. Now, when you got up this morning, the first thing you probably thought of in your mind is this Sunday morning. Now, I'm just being hopeful. The first thing you should have thought of was, it's time to get up to go to church. I know that didn't occur in everybody's mind, but that should have been what you thought about. I got to go to church this morning. I know my car needs wax. My car needs washing and cleaning. But I'm going to go to church this morning. That's what should have been number one on your mind. Number two, you probably started thinking about what am I going to eat this morning. And finally, number three, you probably thought about what am I going to wear. And as you were thinking along those lines of what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, you should have just been thinking, the Lord will make a way. The Lord will fix it. No matter what my issue is, the Lord can fix it. I may have been out absent for a long time. I may have been not ready to commit myself to the Lord. One of the questions in the Bible class is, why do some people struggle so with the decisions for the Lord? Or making a decision about the Lord? But I tell you something. When you think about the Lord, you are not concerning yourself about what He does, but more about what you're going to do to please Him. Amen. See, He doesn't have to please us, but He does. But we need to be concerned about pleasing Him. So when you got up and you start thinking on all these things this morning, you should have asked the question, or you should have made the statement, Lord, bless me this day. For I know that I can't make it anywhere without You, and without You I'm nothing. Totally lost. But then something brought you back around and you said, well, I know I'm going to get up from here and I'm going to get myself together and I'm going to be ready to head out. And when you got here, you ought to be thankful that the doors of the church were opened. You ought to be thankful for Brother Burnside and Brother Jackson, for they opened the doors early enough that you can get in. Thank God. For somebody has the keys to open the door to get in, and God has the keys to His kingdom. And this is what we're here for, to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, with that said, I know I've said enough. I'm still trying to stick to my guns here and be short. I know I'm a little longer than some of you probably want me to be already. But you got a point there, Brother Hill. But one thing I want you to know this morning, that God is able. God is willing. That's two things. This third thing. God is willing, ready, and able to help us out. All we got to do is ask Him. If you got up this morning and you said to yourself, I don't have a thing to wear, you ought to search your closet. For you can find something in there. God will give you something. And if you said, I don't have anything to eat, then stop at McDonald's and get you a dollar biscuit sandwich or whatever. But God will make a way for you. I'm so glad this morning that you came out. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. But if you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But what about those of us with history that we've been baptized, but we've walked astray? Will you come back to God asking Him to forgive you, ask the church to pray with and for you, that you may grow stronger and that you may not falter anymore? But I'll tell you something. One thing I can tell you, if you live, you're going to falter. None of us are perfect. No, not one. So with that said, if there be anybody who feel the need to come forward as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.